the book of James. Chapter 4. One verse. Verse 11. Scripture speaks to us in James, chapter 4, verse 11, and says, don't speak evil against each other.
All right.
Dear brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Says if you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your kind. He says, again, speak not evil one of another, brother. He that speaketh evil of his brother judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Don't criticize and speak evil about each other. Dear brothers, if you do, you will be fighting against God's law of loving one another, declaring it wrong. But your job is not to decide whether the law is right or wrong, but to obey it. Serious stuff, isn't it? The grass withers, the flowers there fade, the word of our God shall stand forever. We pray today that God will help us find inspiration in what we have read in your hearing, and that we all will be blessed by the teaching, preaching, and reaching power of God's holy word. I solicit your prayers, please. I won't talk to you from the subject. What is your job? Ask your neighbor, what's your job? What's your job? What is your job? Our job is to obey God's word. To begin with, my brethren and my sisters, Christian friends, well-wishers, and saints of God, God's word behooves us to obey. God's word reproves us to conform. And God's word approves us to live a victorious life. Y'all gonna help me in here? As we reiterate and as we revisit the James factor, I want to say it right off the bat. James ain't no joke. James is a straight shooter. The biblical writer, James, to him, it's either true religion or false religion. In chapter 4, where we're going to be dealing with, James underlines, underscores, and undergirds some spiritual truths that bless us in our understanding as to what our job is with God. Number one, James cautions us against corrupt affections. Number two, James warns us against the love of the world. And then number three, James warns us of belittling others and passing judgment on our neighbors. Y'all gonna help me here?
Amen.
Listen, James makes distinctions, differentiations, and declarations against having enmity against God. Enmity. Everybody say enmity. Can I teach you something this morning? Enmity from the Greek vernacular is the word ethros. Ethros. E-C-H-T-R-O. Ethros. Ethros. And ethros, James 4 and 4, it means literally to hate God. But not just hate God and then be best friends with the devil. Everybody say, Rev, say it ain't so. I can't be the best friend with the devil. Brothers and sisters, I wish I could give you a different answer. But the only way that we can really discover the true answer is to go in the text and see what the Bible has to say about it. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Did you know that? Did you know? I got a couple questions. Did you know that? That all wars and fighting come from the corruption of our own hearts? Number two. And did you know that worldly flesh and lustly desires are distempers which will not allow us to be content or satisfied? Talk real. The first thing we need to cover is how the writer cautions us against corrupt affections. And all of us have had some corrupt affections. Come on, say amen if you can. The Bible says, from whence come wars and fighting among you? That's in your Bible? Come they not hence, even of your own lusts that war in your members? James cautions us against this. He says, and another translation, what's causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Isn't it because there is a whole army of evil desires, and he says, within you? Number two, you want what you don't have, so you kill to get it. You long for what others have and can't afford it. You start a fight to take away from them. And yet the reason you don't have what you want is that you don't ask God for it. Got a question for you. What is your job? I'm going to give you the answer. Our job is to obey the word of God. So now, as I go through this text, when I say, what is your job? And you're going to say,
obey the word of God.
In verses 1 and 2, James describes our unrest and our unholy passions. Many times we go get things, listen to this now, we can't afford, things we don't need, just to keep up with people we don't like, and then to impress people we don't even know.
Yeah.
Trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
My name is Allen. It's hard enough to keep up with the Allens. You the Jones Law. Come on, help me somebody. It's hard enough to do what I do than to try to be with somebody else. Paul said, I've learned that whatever state I find myself there within, I am content. Tell you that you better learn how to be content. Now then tell the other one, you better learn how to be satisfied. As pastor and watchman of your soul, it's my responsibility. If I don't teach you to be better, we'll grow up in here without unity. We'll grow up and be jealous. We'll grow up and be bitter, envious, spiteful, full of strife, full of ungodly disappointment, and then we'll be mean. And you know what the subject is for this year? Don't be mean. And 2014. Come on, y'all. I had to revisit this text, so I had to deal with it as it dealt with me. Don't be mean. In 2014, what is your job, church? Obey God's word. Even though the word tells you, ask and it shall be given, seek you shall find, knock on the doors and it shall be opened unto you. That's right, right? Y'all with me? Our motive has to be right for God to open up doors for you. Are you with me here? Many folk have gotten healings and miraculous recoveries because God's motive was right. Your motive was right with God. Y'all gonna help me out. Got a question for you. What is your job? All right. Then James, secondly, in verses 3 and 4, we have love for the world system. And that Christians have unanswered prayers and are consumed with worldliness. Listen to James. He said, and even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole aim is wrong. You want what you will to give you pleasure. Verse 4. You are like, oh my God, you are like an unfaithful wife. Oh Jesus. Who loves her husband's enemies. Bite your tongue. Don't you realize that making friends with God's enemies, the evil pleasures of this world, make you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasures of the unsaved world, you cannot be a friend of God. Let me unpack this text for you. The dialectical factor as it relates to modern day society from a biblical perspective is the priestly and the prophetic positions that we face every day. What you mean, Red? From the priestly perspective, it is the pastor's responsibility to present the word of God strictly from a biblical point of view. Come on, say amen again. From the prophetic point of view, it is the pastor's responsibility to present the word of God solely from a political posturing point of view. And you know what I taught? And I want y'all to catch this too. What I taught Evangelist Fields and Reverend Collins is about the principalizing bridge, which makes the word of God clear, plain, and relevant to our day and our time. Can't find no relevance in it, I don't know why you're saying it. So with that in mind, look at verse 3 again. Even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole aim is wrong. You want what gives you pleasure. Just think of some of the things that you've asked God for that you know was not according to his will. I can think of so many things. Man, I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer them. You ever ask God for something that was wrong? Don't answer that. You didn't ask God for something that wasn't right, and you knew it wasn't right. I'm not saying amen at all. I'm not a mind reader, but I know I ain't the only one up in here that didn't ask God for something that I know wasn't right. Did some wrong and say, Lord, if you just get me out of this. I ain't got no help up in this thing. I know I ain't by myself on that. Don't answer that. Verse 3. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your whole aim is wrong. You want what gives you pleasure. Brothers and sisters, so what I learned also after revisiting the text was that everything that you want from God is conditional. Tell your neighbor it's conditional. It's got to be in the will of God. I mean, for the sinner, you can do anything you want. But for the child of God, it has to be in God's will. Are y'all with me here? Now, brothers and sisters, that's the priestly point of view. Let me read it again. brothers and sisters, he says, I've learned that God didn't bless me so that I could give the devil glory. That's the priestly part of you. You don't think God blessed me like this to give the devil glory. You ain't saying amen, but all right. Watch me toot my own horn. You don't think God made me this good looking? For the work for the devil. I know you got it. I know you got it. I know you got that one. Y'all got that one. Just put your own name in there with your own life. God ain't mean you do what you do and have you where you are. Got it going on rolling deep. Y'all ain't going to help me. Not for the devil's glory. So, what's our job? Obey God's word. And we're cautioned against corrupt affections. Then secondly, James warns us of having love for the world. Verse 4. The second thing we need to point out in the text is that you are like an unfaithful wife who loves her husband's enemies. Don't you realize that making friends with God's enemies, the evil pleasures of this world, makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy the evil pleasures of the unsaved world, you cannot be a friend of God. What's your job?
Obey God.
Let me put it where you can get it. Say, put it where I can get it, Ray. Let me give it to you in four stages. Stage one. There isn't a man alive that want to hear that he got an unfaithful wife. Boy, the men should have been saying amen. Amen. I ain't for that. Ain't a man alive won't hear nothing about his wife ain't what? Y'all gonna come on helping him. Number two, the worst thing that there isn't a man alive to want to know that his wife loves his enemies. Y'all gonna help me after a while. Stage three. Let me take it even further. Ain't no pastor want to hear about his members treating another pastor better than him. You see how I carry on. I show you I'm jealous. I don't let it be done in my face. I do it behind my back, but you ain't going to do it in my face. Show me you love somebody else better than me. I ain't for that. Nah, the last stage, and it's more important than me. Watch this out. Let's go deeper to the deepest part. God doesn't want any of his saints running after the devil more than him.
Amen.
How do you know? Because the Ten Commandments in the Word, it says, thou shalt have no other gods. Boy, God mean that like he mean what? Like he made creation. Don't go after the devil more than God ever. Jealous God. It's just like Michael Corleone told him, don't ever take sides against the family. Ever. Y'all don't watch the Godfather, do you? Ever. Ever. You and the family. We are saints of God. We don't belong with the devil. Don't take sides with the devil. You know how God feels about that? James said, when we operate like that, in your Bible it says this, we are adulterers and adulteresses.
All right,
in his
all right.
Eyes. So what's your job?
Obey
God's word. Did y'all get that, them stage 4s? Stage 1 through 4, y'all got that? halfway, but I can hear the Holy Ghost. Y'all want me to finish? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Am I giving you what you need?
Yes.
I was going to stop right there. I have more sermon to go. James tells us the third thing. You sure you want me to go on?
Yeah.
I read this text, you know? It talks about our pride, stubbornness, impurity, double-mindedness, and impenitence. Ain't nobody never saying they're sorry. Verse 5. Or what do you think the scriptures mean when it says that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, watches over us with tender jealousy? God is a jealous God. And you have no other gods before him. You cannot love the world. Get this now. You cannot love the world and not be in hot water with God. If you love the world, you're going to be in trouble with God. And can I share with us that the validity of the text demands the integrity of what the writer is saying, and it carries a stiff, stern, and straightforwardness that is imperatively implied. In other words, there is no, I can fix it, I can change it, I can dress it up, I can butter it up, gravy it down, I can give you ice cream when the bridge is falling down. No! He said, you got to tell them like it is. James said, I'm talking like the street talk. Now, don't lie to them, don't lie on them, and don't lie for them. Is that all right? Don't lie to them, don't lie on them. And don't lie to him. James said, because here's our defense. Look at verses 6 through 8. God always gives you a way out. He always gives you a way out. He said, but he gives us more and more strength to stand against all such evil longings. If you ask God, he'll fix it. As the scripture says, God gives strength to the humble and sets himself against the proud and the haughty. To bring you down, won't he? Make you think you all that, you think you all that, and then you got to ride in a car for hours without no heat. And can't go forward, and can't go back, and the window's fogging up, Nikhil, and I got to get out with Ray J's shirt and scrub the wind. Oh, he'll bring you down.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Oh, Lord.
You're down, Father. Think you all letting the bag of chips and the pickle and the gold dry?
Yes,
he'll bring you down.
Yes, he will.
Tell you, stop all that. You ain't all that. Now you're out in the cold. Who come and see about you now? It's just me and you, and the radio act like it didn't want to play. Well, I was like, man, come on, Lord. And then I ain't had my Bible to go over my notes. I had nothing. All it was sit up. Watch up. Listen, I got something for you to get. When you go back to Shiloh, you're going to say it like I told you to say it, ain't you? You ain't going to lie to them, you ain't going to lie on them, and you ain't going to lie for them. Verse 7. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Look what he says. Resist the devil, and he will what? He'll flee from you. Then it says, here's a prescription. I'm giving you the prescription. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh what?
To you.
He says, cleanse your hands, O you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If you get closer to God, God will get closer to you. If you resist the devil, he will leave you alone. The word didn't say nothing about rebuking the devil in this text. You keep on rebuking the devil. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus, and the devil's still giving you hell. You know why he's giving you hell? Because you ain't following what the word says. The word says, resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. That's where your strength is. Get close to God. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting close. I know what makes me win. I know what works. If I get close to God, Stop trying my gimmicks. Stop trying my tricks. Stop trying my political connection. Stop trying all my innuendo. All that. Just get close to God. It's simple. You know what I've decided? Hibernate and hide in God's word. And stay out of them sharks' way. Come on, help me somebody. I ain't trying to be all in the world. Hibernate and hide in God's word. They can't do nothing with me. They can't drag me in no mess, and I can't be in no mess because I ain't in it. My name is Bennett. I ain't in it. Come on, help me somebody. I ain't in it. I'm not in it. Get closer to God. We all know that stuff. Long. Verse 6. James gives us more strength. He says in verse 6, God gives us more strength through his grace. Verse 7, James says, for us, he tells us to submit, and the devil will leave us alone. Verse 8, James said, get close to God and clean up your life. Then in verse 9, James says, let there be tears for the wrong things you've done. Let there be sorrow and sincere grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Sometimes God has to get your attention. Put you in a situation where you feel like and you recognize and realize that your life is sinful, saddening, and sickening. And when it does, that you only have him to keep your soul out of hell's fire. Only God can save me. Y'all missed that chance. Only God can save me. It ain't about how good I am. None of that. Only God can save me. See, when you're out there like that and you're stuck out there like, only God. Only God can save me. I could have got hypothermia and died in that car. It was like 29 degrees outside. No heat. Ice on them, y'all on him. Can't fix the car, ain't got no money to fix it. James, you heard my heart, James. But verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Verse 10 again. Then you will realize your worthlessness before the Lord. He will lift you up and encourage you and help you after you say, I can't do it by myself. I surrender. I confess. I just give in. I give up. And that's when he can do it. James tells us that we must come down out of the world's system. Do you know that, and I've talked about that last Sunday, and I believe I'm gonna quit after that. I ain't through, but I'm gonna quit after that. You know, the more we get, the more we want. The more you have, instead of it being like a big lanyard and a whole lot more you can put in the bank, do you know you figure out a way to spend that up? Come on, right? I'm by myself. That's the flesh. You got to put that flesh under subjection, soldiers of the cross. You got to tell your flesh, I'm sorry, but what is my job? Yes, because when you read James's theology, there are several things that you can take home with you. Number one, he makes us evaluate our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, it reminds us that the steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord. You can't just do what you want. Number three, it keeps us on the straight and the narrow, because the word of God said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One more question. What is your job? He says, stop belittling people and passing judgments on everybody. Verse 11, he said, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge, I'm back where I started, right? If you criticize and judge, now that's why he said what he said, because all the other verses before. He said, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law, God's word. And he says, but your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God bless you. Last thing I want you to get is that he says, a theological expert gave a commentary on James. I found a new one. And he said, we human creatures had the audacity to act like God doesn't exist or like he's a genie in a bottle. And whenever we rub it together, we would call him up and he'd give us gifts and blessings and favor and anything we want just because we ask for it. But the Bible says our job is to obey God's word. Were you blessed by the message? Come on, give God a hand of praise.